our title for the day, and I didn't really have one, but, you know, I just like, let's just keep it simple, is the gospel. Just the gospel. I had it some time with the Lord probably about 2-3 weeks ago, and if you live under a rock, you really don't know anything that's going on social media or in the news, and things are kind of getting, you know, a little bit out of hand. Can we all agree upon what's happening in the world today? And as I really started looking at how everything is starting to shape up in the world, it is, of course, starting to get disturbing. But guess what? Prophecies are starting to be fulfilled, right? We have to understand that first. There's no need to fret. It is just because everyone that know that time is winding up, you know, and that is a good thing. That is a good thing, you know. But as we start seeing things, we start to see that mass shootings in schools is becoming a common thing. You know, we start seeing that people will berate each other anytime, anywhere, and they use any medium that they need to berate a person and take everything in the world out of context. Didn't even understand what was actually happening. There's also another time where people feel like it's this about me movement, where people are just worried about themselves. And I'm all of this, you know, I'm not even talking about the world. I'm actually really talking about the church. Because there was an exposure that happened between 2018 and 2019, going into 2020, that believed the Lord orchestrated to let the church know you're not ready to go. Because I remember when I used to be in church when I was little, and I used to see this group of older women that wore all white all the time, and they had the gloves, and they made you spit the gum in their hand, and you had to be quiet, and you know, you couldn't do anything out of reverence inside of the church. And I remember those women, and they were so eager back then and ready to die. And I know for a lot of younger people that sounds crazy. How do you go to church and ready to die? Because I'm ready for the promise that was already given to me over 2,000 years ago. So why am I staying here and not going to the promise when it's my time to go? But they made sure they were ready to die. And we've watched the transition to a world and a church that's just like, I don't know nothing about that death thing right now. You need to hold on. And it's not that I'm a proponent for death. I believe that I will live 120 years and I'll probably sit somewhere over there and just keep propping me up. I believe if you get me and my wife, Eric, and a couple others, you smash us together on that front pew, we'll hold each other up for 120 years. We're not going anywhere. But guess what? Every day what we do is we are ready to go. And we get ready to leave here and go and be with our Father. So today's message is the gospel. And I want to start this out with a story that is not original to me, but is used to explain a lot of things that are actually happening in today's culture. And it starts with a father who takes his son and they go into a strawberry patch. And as the father shows him the beauty of the strawberry patch and how the strawberries are perfect within season, the son looks at them and they're the most red and delicate things that he's ever seen in his life. And he tells his son, he says, pick one and taste it. And it tastes so good to him. The son instantly became in love with the strawberry patch. He just knew he was going to go there his entire life. I will always be at the strawberry patch where my father first took me because I fell in love with the strawberries in the strawberry patch. And so what happens over time, people's like, well, do you just eat strawberries out of the strawberry patch? Absolutely. They're fresh. They're great. Well, have you ever cut up a little bit and put it in your cereal? Never tried that. Let me try some of that. So now he goes to the strawberry patch and he picks these great strawberries and he cuts them up and he puts them in his cereal. And then it starts. And so he goes from having strawberries that are fresh off of the strawberry plant to cutting them up in the cereal. And then guess what? Somebody says, you could take those strawberries and make strawberry jam. What? Strawberry jam? And put that on a biscuit. I'm going to take some strawberries. I'm going to make some strawberry jam. I'm going to lay those on a biscuit. Then after that, somebody comes to him and says, you know what? We can take these strawberries to the lab and we can make something that's just like strawberries and we can fill a Pop-Tart with it and you can eat those in the morning. And now we go from strawberries that are fresh and natural off the vine to what we put inside of a Pop-Tart. And so now we have strawberries with no strawberry. And we make strawberry roll-ups. And we make strawberry candy. And the lab grabs this flavor of strawberry and they continue to stretch it out till guess what? The son goes to a store and they have strawberry slushes. And he drinks this strawberry slush and he says, forget the strawberry. This strawberry slush is the best thing I've ever had in my life. And I don't even have to go all the way to the strawberry patch to get it. And so the son goes from being a lover of strawberries to a lover of a thing that resembles a strawberry but has no strawberry in it. So he loves the strawberry slush. So now he's a strawberry slush lover. And that's what he wants to take and show it to his kids. And that's exactly how the world is trying to do our gospel. The Greek word for the gospel is euangelion, which means the good news. It signals an important announcement of a positive message or something that should not be ignored. For the world, this is its redemptive power of God for all humanity through his son, Jesus Christ. However, like the sun in the strawberry patch, the world is starting to use the gospel as something that has nothing to do with the gospel. And for a lot of our younger and even our older adults that haven't been to church a long time, you don't recognize the difference because the strawberry tastes just like the strawberry slush. So when you think you like strawberries, you really don't like the strawberry. You actually like the strawberry slush. And if we're not careful and we're not watchful through the Spirit, we as Christians will fall in love with the strawberry slush. Churches contend for the attention of people all over the world, even its own saints. There are churches right now today that have smog machines and lasers, and they have media walls that stretch from the floor all the way to the ceiling. They even have smoke machines with glitter in them that comes down at a certain point of praise and worship. They have mega auditoriums. They have sound systems that cost millions of dollars. I even read an article 2 weeks ago where there are churches here, get this, that is allowing weed to be given out inside of church and the use of it. There's prominent pastors right now, if you would go on social media, that has automatically said that they would rather get in the cannabis business for revenue for their churches. This is the gospel? This is not the gospel. The lengths that churches will go through to bring people in to fill seats will surprise you. We've had everything, and we start using the word gospel as an adjective to represent what we're trying to do. You see people that start to even change the name of who you are and your role inside of the church. So you go from being a minister of the gospel to a gospel minister. And you say, wait a minute, that doesn't That's the same thing. It is not. That is a play on words that the enemy used. Because a minister of the gospel will only say that what is in the gospel. But a gospel minister will tell you something as close to it to promote their own agenda. Because you can be a minister of more than anything than just the gospel. And when we say the gospel here in America, we automatically believe that we mean those things that are in the Bible. But when it comes down to the gospel, it could be a gospel of anything. It could be the good news of anything you want it to be. As believers, we say that it is the good news of Jesus Christ. So now we would take the purity of a strawberry and we're trying to take it to a lab and we're trying to replicate what the gospel has in it. And if you've been at this church any time, just for a couple years, you'll know that our bishop, he's taught us the gospel is being taken and it's being replicated and we're adding sugar to it and additives and colors so that in your mind you will get hooked to it. And so when you get hooked to it, you can't tell the difference because your pleasure center in your brain doesn't want what's natural. Guess what it wants? It wants that thing that it's been hooked to. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2, it says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. In 2 Timothy, Paul continues to write, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. It's beautiful because we see it going on, and those that believe know it's wrong. But the sad part about it is that there's a world that don't see that they're getting hoodwinked and bamboozled. Augustine, a mentor and disciple coming from Paul, writes in the first century, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but yourself. And what I want to do is I want to take a little bit of time and I want to go through 4 points and tell you what our 4 responses are to the gospel and our handling of the gospel, but I don't want to do it too much through my own voice. I want to show you what those that came before us and handled the gospel had to say about contending for the gospel. Because how many people here know that at our foundational core, if you don't believe in the gospel, you can't have salvation through Jesus Christ? It's not 2 minutes on TikTok. It's not a couple of minutes of watching a sermon. It is a life that over what 40 people wrote and put into a canon. And it all points to one person. That is the God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The gospel. And these 4 responses are listed here. And the first one is going to be that we must be unashamed of the gospel. Now, even when I was looking at this and I started saying, what is my response to the gospel? Because, Lord, if you're telling me that the gospel is changing in the world, then what's my response to it? And he says, be not ashamed. And I was like, hey, you know, come on, God. I mean, I go to church. You know, I'm doing the things, I talk about God, but it's more than that. It's more than that. And I want to know, if we start searching ourselves, are we ashamed of the gospel, or are you sharing it everywhere that you go? Because if I'm ashamed of something, I don't want anybody to see it when I come around. And believe it or not, whether your mouth opens or not, they can see it and they know it. If I'm ashamed of my wife, she will never come to where I'm at. If I'm ashamed of my husband, I'm never going to invite him at any type of company function. So you know I'm married, but you're not really sure who I'm married to. Is that not how we treat the gospel? It's like, I know Brother Arthur goes to glory to him, but not really sure what they believe. And as I start seeing, like, are we unashamed? You know, the Lord says, start looking into what Paul said about being unashamed about the gospel. And in Romans 1 and 16, very popular scripture, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As is it written, the just shall live by faith." And when we want to talk about Paul, when we want to talk about being unashamed, Paul is a pivotal figure that we look at when we talk about the New Testament. He writes 3/4 of the New Testament. But Paul was not someone that you were going to invite to do the next inauguration. Paul was what you would call a repeat offender when it came to going into synagogues and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter who cared about it. In Acts 14, we even find Paul, as they in Iconia, that Paul has a run-in with some unbelieving Jews. And what happens, these unbelieving Jews got the Gentiles all stirred up. And when he got the Gentiles all stirred up, and I'm going to expedite the scripture for you, when they got them all stirred up, as Paul and Barnabas are preaching, and they're sitting there, and they're preaching in Lystra, in Iconia, that they stoned them till they thought they were dead. And they drug Paul's body out of the city and threw it out like he was dead. This is the gospel. And as he thought he was dead, the disciples and the apostles surrounded around him. And guess what? They thought he was dead, but he got back up. He stood up on his feet. And when he stood up on his feet, he is so unashamed of the gospel. I have just got whooped. I've been stoned to death. And let me tell you, when you were stoned back in those days, they didn't pick up those little rocks and you go skipping with. They looked for rocks that they could barely pick up because everybody wanted that one hit a quitter. That one rock that was going to take you to the afterlife. So as they're hurling rocks at him, they're throwing at him. That's why they thought he was dead. And I can imagine him. Paul wasn't a pretty young man. If you read your scriptures, he's been boiled, he's been beaten. He's been in prisons that were no higher than 4 feet tall. He has endured it all for the gospel. But when the disciples surrounded around him, he got up on his feet. The first thing he did, he didn't lick his wounds and say, "All right, that's enough for today." The Bible says that he turned around and he went back into the city and preached the gospel. This is the gospel that we're talking about. This is the unadulterated gospel that it has the power of God to surround it. In 2 Timothy 1:8-12, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Therefore, be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us from called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ but Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." That's a whole lot of saying that I will not be shaken. There is nothing in the gospel that can move me. We have to be, we need to be unashamed of the gospel. We have to be relentless when we talk about the gospel. These are the last days. How many people right now can even in their heart or even look on your phone and you know you have more than five people that don't know Jesus in your phone? And now when you have those people in your phone, ask yourself this: how many of them have you reached out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or do we wait like the rich man and Lazarus, who the rich man reaches, looks up his eyes in hell, and he says, "Father Abraham, let me go back and tell my brothers." Because now all of a sudden the gospel gets real to you. But guess what? Time is too late. Time is too late. We all here have time to share the gospel. The gospel is here for each and every one of us. So we must be unashamed. The next one is that we must be confident in the gospel. This is a problem for the church. This is a problem for the church. Because when you have confidence, and I have a tablet, it's okay, I don't have a Bible, but this is my Bible on here. We are confident, and we'll say it to each other here in church, that I'm comfortable and I'm confident in the Word of God. And we'll get out there and we'll live our lives in utter fear. That is the first thing that the COVID pandemic taught us. That even as a church, we will live in fear. Pastor Andy just taught last week on faith over fear. They have been teaching that same saying since COVID. Faith over fear. And he did an amazing job. If you did not watch it, I've watched it twice. He did an amazing job with the word. But it's faith over fear, because it's the gospel that you have your faith in. It is the gospel that doesn't break or doesn't change. Do you know there's only one religion that is here on this earth right now, if you want to call it a religion, because the world does, but it's an inward relationship that has not changed. People can try to dispute it all they want to. People have tried to tear it down. You have unbelieving Jews and you have believing Jews. You have Gentiles that believe and Gentiles that don't believe. You have martyrs for any other religion that is out there. But we have to have confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did when he came to this earth in his path to find salvation and give it to us. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that is preached in this pulpit every Sunday. If this is your first time you ever come in here, there is nothing but the gospel being preached here. And those of us that follow the gospel, we know that whether it is Pastor Sam or Pastor Joe or anybody else that preach, we have confidence that the word of the gospel that they preach comes straight from the word of God. It doesn't matter if it's Minister Jackie or Minister Linda. It doesn't matter if it's Elder Angela or Elder Roslyn. It doesn't matter who it is. The gospel is being preached here. The gospel is so important to me, and it's been taught to me here, that I'm almost to a point where I don't want to handle it wrong. People say what they want to. Man, I just can't wait to get up and preach. Me, I'm shaking like a leaf. I am afraid to put my mouth on something that is going to be displeasing to God. And anybody that just wants to haphazardly grab a pulpit and let their influence be known and not go through the gospel and be convicted every time it's time for you to preach does not need to preach the gospel to you. We have to stop letting everybody. We don't have confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we listen to so many people. Because we're using the confidence we have, we're taking it from somebody else. We have no confidence on our own. And the reason being is because we want to read the word of God through social media. There is not a time set aside that you get close and personal with God. My wife does not have confidence in me as a provider if I am never here and pay no bills. Right? I mean, let's just be honest. How do you say he's a good husband? I mean, I saw him at the wedding. He had to go. Then you say, have y'all talked? I mean, he'll send me a video every once in a while. I'll watch it. He's on social media. You know, we talk through World of Warcraft. You know, we do things through games. That is not a relationship. How can you be confident in the scriptures, and how can you be confident in God that you don't even know? How can we say we want to share a gospel that we have no evidence of us even experiencing it? One of the things that our bishop said about anybody coming into this church, he said, it's not enough just to come in here and sit down and hear three songs and, you know, you hear the announcement and you hear the preaching, but he wants you to have an experience with God. If you come in here and you don't have an experience with God, we're doing this for nothing. And the gospel is not taught here. So we must be confident in the gospel. We must be unashamed in the gospel. Amen. And we must be indiscriminate of the gospel. The gospel is sown. The gospel is sown. The word indiscriminate means to be done at random and without careful judgment. And so as you're indiscriminate with the gospel, indiscriminate means also a negative connotation when you start looking at it with people. They say you do it frivolously. You just can't help yourself. You just always out there doing it. But you know what? Isn't that the thing that we want from those that preach the gospel? Before I got married, I was at home, and I ain't going to be ashamed to tell y'all, I went back and moved in with my mom because I was broke, right? You know, so mom had to take care of me. I was broke, right? And so I was going through a transition in life. Has anybody ever been in a transition in life? And then when I was going through that transition of life, let me explain to you what the gospel is. I was up one night and I was watching television. And as I was watching television, I flipped on a channel, and we had one of them TVs where you had to get out the seat and walk over there and do the do. So a lot of times, those that are older know that we watch stuff that we probably wouldn't watch, but we just didn't want to get out the seat and go over there and turn the channel, right? Let's just be honest. That's how it worked. Wasn't no remotes. You're like, no, we didn't have no remote. You know, we had to get up and go get it. And sometimes you had to fix the rabbit ears and everything like that. But my mom had cable that she didn't have anymore. All right, now I'm probably talking to some lower income people. She had cable that she didn't have anymore, but as long as you left the cable in the back of the TV, it still gave you certain channels until it was all the way cut off. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all rich. I'm sorry. Wrong congregation, wrong crowd. So we still got certain channels because we weren't all the way disconnected. So we were still able to receive some WGN and some of those other channels that used to come on. And I was sitting there one night and I was watching television. And at this time, with the cable system that we had, at a certain time of night, it changed from one channel that was local over to TBN. And if I'm being honest, I wasn't about to watch that. Let's just be honest. I wasn't going to watch that. Hey, I'm about to go cut that off. And as my feet were reclined in the seat and I was having to do to try to get myself up to go, I saw a young man on there that some of you all may know now. And when they were doing a telethon, and Paul and Jan Crouch was sitting there, and they automatically started talking about if you're going through something. And so I sat up and I just leaned on the front of the seat. And I was like, let me see what they're going to say. You know, I was familiar with the church. You know, anybody ever live a life just familiar with the church? You know, I was familiar with the church. So I kind of understood what they were saying because I had been in church. But they start saying things. And they start, and I start listening to them. And they said, we have a person that is going to come on right now who's new to TBN, but he's not new to a lot of the airways. And I was like, who is this? And as I sat there and watched, there was a young man called T.D. Jakes. And T.D. Jakes came through, and those that know the old T.D. Jakes back in the day, T.D. Jakes would preach, and when he got through preaching, the sweat would go from one armpit to the other armpit, and he'd do that lean back, and he'd hold the back of his coat. Anybody remember the old Jakes? Remember that old Jakes? He'd hold the back of his coat when he preached, and he started preaching, and when he started preaching, he preached on salvation, and this is your day of salvation, and I was captivated. I was captivated, and I couldn't turn the TV, and I started to weep, and I didn't know why, but I knew for a fact that what he preached was coming from the throne room of heaven, because it resonated with every soul and every fiber of my life. And without a handhold, without somebody coming in there and saying, can I lead you in prayer? I got on there with Paul and Jan Crouch. And I gave my life back to Jesus Christ. There was no ushers. There was none of that. It was the gospel. Don't you dare think it was T.D. Jakes. Don't you dare think it was Paul and Jan Crouch. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you listen to a gospel and you're not convicted, it is not the gospel being preached. The gospel keeps us on the right path. The gospel keeps us on the finish line. And we have to be indiscriminate when it comes to the gospel. We need to be sharing the gospel with whoever we can. How many people have shared the gospel this week with anybody? And if we can't get to 100% in the body of Christ, we are not doing what we should be doing. But the beauty of it is that even as the gospel is being preached, I realized one thing, that everywhere I went, and I start taking a tally and taking notice as I sat there. And the gospel had been coming to me over and over and over again in my life. People were dropping nuggets of the gospel on me everywhere I was. And I started saying, wait a minute, that guy said that he goes to this church and he invited me to church. And I went to Walmart and somebody was preaching and they was like, hey, would you like to come to my church? When my wife and I first got married, we were sitting there, we were getting ready to go and have a Super Bowl party. And I had things in my cart that I probably shouldn't be drinking. But let me tell you how good God is. And let me tell you how the gospel don't care. So if you think you got to clean yourself up to be ready for the gospel, you don't. You just have to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. A young man walked by us. We were standing in line. Check this out for double-minded. We were talking about having a Super Bowl party, people over the house. But as we're walking out with our bud that gives no wiser. No wiser. And if you don't want to be that smart, you just get the light. You know? Get the light, Budweiser. And as we were talking about... And it's so funny because we're like, we need to go to church. The word of God is inside of me. It's inside of me, and it comes out. And I'm like, we need to go to church. What do you want to go to church at? I don't know. What do we think about it? A young man walks up, and he gives us a card, and he says, would you like to come to our church? And we're like, wow, that's on time. That's right on point. It's right on point. We look at the card. We move on. We're just like, absolutely, we'll come to your church. And it was at that church where my wife gave her life to Jesus Christ. And she has walked the path since then. Have I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ? the orchestration of the gospel means something. It's not attached to a person. People think in this world that when you're indiscriminate about the gospel is being attached to you. Because that's the problem in social media, and that's the problem where we're at. We're having arguments on who teaches the gospel the best. Who died for the gospel? Who's a martyr? And you make the gospel of no effect when you do that. Because it is not our job to take the gospel and attach it to a person, because it's not his solely to have. The gospel was here for a fallen world. So why would we dare attach it to a person? I needed the gospel. I needed the gospel. And I need the gospel. And I want you to hear me when I say, I need the gospel. I need everything in the 66 books that were put out there. I need every drop of it. There is nothing in it that I don't need. Because if you start to look at it, and if you look at Romans 6 and 23, we have to work our way to death. Because it says the wages of sin are death. The wages. You don't do anything unless you work for a wage. Right? But then it goes back and it says the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a free gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't deserve it. It is nothing you could do to obtain it. It is freely given to you. And that is the gospel. So you now have to figure out, do I want to work my way to hell, or do I want to accept the free gift of life and life eternally? Because that's the real thing. That's what we look at every day. And 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5, and for the sake of time, I'll cut it down. The first thing Paul tells Timothy, is to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Indiscriminate. It doesn't matter whether you feel like it or whether you don't. You have to preach the word. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering of teaching. Those things that are going to come with it. Everybody's not going to accept you. But I know this, when I stand before the Lord, I don't want to stand before the Lord. He ain't showed me people that I missed along the way. 2 Timothy 4 and 17 says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so the message might be preached fully through me and that all Gentiles might hear. 1 Peter 3, 14 through 15 says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Even if a person scorns me because I preach the gospel to them, I'm blessed. Because the blood is not on my hands. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor their trouble, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. And I really like it because when we start being indiscriminate about the word of God, you should have a fire that burns inside of you daily for the gospel. And I know for a fact, everybody doesn't wake up like that. But these are the metrics that we use and we should be using as Christians, as a follower of Christ, that every time you get up, you should want to share the gospel with somebody. We should always pray that God sends somebody our way that we can share the gospel with. In the Old Testament, it was so important that men would sit at the gate and they would exchange stories of the goodness of God. One of the things I love about Pastor Sam and Pastor Joe, everywhere they go, those that know them, they do nothing but share the gospel. Their lives have become intertwined with the gospel. Not the gospel intertwined with their life. And as I've had time to sit with them, I orchestrate my life to be the same way because I thought I had to have the gospel intertwined with my life. But it's actually the opposite. Your life needs to intertwine with the gospel. So we should be unashamed. We should be confident. We should be indiscriminate. And the last thing I want to go over with y'all is that we should be rooted in the gospel. We must be rooted in the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ was given here, and we have to understand that we need to die daily to flesh and get into the word of God so that God can position us to the spreading of the gospel. If you're looking for meager rewards because you went and you told somebody that Jesus is a good God, you're in the wrong place. You're barking up the wrong tree. That dog don't hunt. You have to understand that the gospel is enough. The gospel is enough. The gospel is a wake-up call. We have been lulled asleep with the sin of the world and told that we are owed something we deserved. As a body of Christ, we're sleeping. But guess what? The enemy is not asleep. The Bible says he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But this lion is passing right by us, and he's going to people that we love. And it's taking them, and it's trying to snatch them into hell. But the gospel is enough, and all you have to do is share the gospel. Romans 1:1-6 says, Paul, the bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declaring to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called to Christ Jesus. You are called. You are called to the gospel. If it is in your mind that if you stand in this pulpit, you are the only one called, you are wrong. There are people more versed in the word of God than I am that is in this church, and they're more servant, and they have more servanthood than I have. The gospel is one of servitude. The gospel is one of giving. The gospel should be sown. The gospel is the gospel of forgiveness. This is what we should be doing. This is how your life should be. This is how we are made to be. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, whether you have today already or have not, you will soon have an opportunity to do so. Yours is to do the same thing when you go to a good steakhouse and you realize that steak is what it's supposed to be. Somebody finally know how to cut a piece of meat in Alabama. And as we have that great experience as we sit here, we can't help but go out and share it with somebody else. We have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so good, I can't help but share it. How many times did Jesus say, hey, not right now, don't share it. But everybody had to get up because of what he did for them. They had to go and sell it. The woman at the well said, let me tell you everything that this man told me. So don't tell me women can't preach. Preach just as well as anybody else. First Corinthians 15:1-2 reads, moreover, brethren, I declare to you that the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, and which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. Unless you believe in vain. I will tell you, and I'll be honest to you, I've probably been saved in this church over 30 times. Because I wasn't really sure sometimes. And I'm not going to let an opportunity pass me by. So guess what? With my whole heart, every time somebody says, repeat after me, I say the words. I give my life over and over to Jesus Christ, almost on every Sunday occasion. This is important because the gospel has come to me. And then when the gospel comes to you, it is your responsibility to do something with it. You have to be honest with yourself, and I have to understand, is he liar, is he Lord, or is he a lunatic? You have to make that decision. Even the things that he said, Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, either they were not true, either he was a crazy man running around here. He got that crazy cousin, too, that's running around here with loincloth all up in the woods, eating locusts. Is he a lunatic? Or is he Lord? And if he is Lord, then you need to treat him as such. No one wants to marry a person that is going to go and spend time with somebody else. You know that, I know that. And the gospel is enough. So now we go back and we look at it and we're like, so what do we do with the son who no longer likes strawberries? What do we do with the son that only wants a strawberry slush? What do we do because life is so fast and it comes to him and he can get that strawberry slush brought to him by DoorDash? It's still slushy when they get there. And he can get it in big gulp size. He can get the mega size, the bucket size, and it's so good to him. And he knows that's what he wants in the first place. And his father is still saying, but what about the strawberries? So what do we do? What do we do with people who has lost the flavor of a real strawberry? Well, I'll tell you what we do. We get their tail up every day and we take them back to that strawberry patch over and over and over again. And we continue to feed them strawberries until the taste of strawberries come back to their lives. We don't leave them alone and say, well, continue drinking your slush. Let's drop a vitamin inside of it. We take them back and we walk them back through the strawberry patch like it was their first time. Because I needed the gospel. And you have to understand that the gospel means so much more than just something that says the good news. The gospel started in the creation of man. And when it started at the creation of man, man was put in a garden and all he had was an order not to eat of a tree. But man failed in the task that it was given. Keep a commandment. And he failed at it. So through one man, sin entered into the world. A sin that even as we start to be a frail humanity and failing all of the time and also trying to make atonement through animals, we could never get it right. It wasn't able to fix. We couldn't do it because we knew if God was a man of his word, then he'd have to kill us all. You deserve death. For something you weren't even around to see. Because we fell for the lie. I want to be more like God. You already are. So God devised a plan before the foundation of the earth. And he sent his son here. And he had a virgin birth. And yes, the birth matters. Because if it's any other generation, the sins would have been attached to the son. So through a virgin, he sent his seed for the forgiveness of the world. It was not something that any one of us could pay. It was a price too high. But he loved us so much that he sent his son, and he didn't just sent his son to warn people. He also sent his son to die for their sins. And if you think about it, all the things that you're even thinking about doing and all the things that you've done and all the things that you've done in the dirt, guess what? God already knows about it, but it was charged to your account. So when his son came here, he said, I'm not just going to die for people because guess what? That would make him a martyr. And I don't serve a martyr. So he didn't die for me. He died as me. So there was millions of people that hung on that cross that day. Because every sin that you could think about doing, he hung and he paid the price for it. And easier than any brotherhood, easier than anything that you could ever think about doing, all he said is that all you have to do is just believe that he is the Son of God. That he came to this earth so that you could have eternal life. Your sins have already been paid for. Will you accept the free gift of life? This is the gospel. You don't have to add anything to it. I don't need to have a chihuahua up here jumping on plates or somebody's knees. I don't need flag girls around here and men doing flips. The gospel. The immutable gospel. There is nothing wrong with it. It is sufficient all by itself. People say, how do you go through life and you live a life like that? It seems like your life is boring. You don't have fun. You always want to go to church. Because the gospel keeps me grounded. The gospel gives me everything I need. I want for nothing. My heart is filled with love. My heart is filled with joy. And I can't give him enough praise for it. Because how many people would have millions and millions of dollars in a bank account and just let it sit there? You would want to know, how do I give access to it? But we're talking about a life and a life more abundantly. He will never leave you or forsake you. The gospel that he came here and he shared for this world will go on to the end of time until he comes back and he catches his church up. Don't let it be too late. The gospel is a timeline. You can't think that you're going to wait to the end, and I guess what? I'll make it. Because I'm going to tell you right now that Jesus has done everything that he needs to do, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's made all the ways he's going to make. So what are you waiting for? Why do I not accept him? He is the cornerstone that the builders rejected. He came here and his own people said they didn't want him. Because if we're being honest, it's the same thing and it's the same way we are. We want Jesus the way we want Jesus. Can you be accepting in what I'm doing? Can you allow me to do those things that I'm still doing? Why do I have to make the sacrifice? Why do I have to just sit there and raise my hand and say something with my mouth and believe in my heart? Because we serve a Jesus that wasn't afraid to hang himself on the cross. And don't you let anybody lie to you and tell you that they took his life. He laid his life down for each and every one of us. He went to death, hell, and through the grave, and he has all the keys. There is nothing that he can't do. There is nothing that's greater than him. And even after all we've done, he still says, I love you and I want you. The enemy wants you to know something that is an utter lie, that you are from this world. Before you were black, before you were white, before you were Puerto Rican or Mexican, before you were Republican, before you were Democrat, before you followed a person, before all of that, you were a citizen of heaven. When Jesus came on the scene, he said, the kingdom of heaven is here now. To remind you of your citizenship, you are not of this world. Pastor Joe preached that. You were not of this world. You were trying to deny citizenship. And the devil keeps giving you paperwork saying, sign here. Sign here. Let me have your passport. Because as soon as you give that passport over, he knows that you're locked to stay with him through eternity. To go to a place that you don't want to be in. So how hard is it to accept what's free instead of working for death? You are citizens of heaven. It's inside of you. You have it. We need to come home. When you see our shirts and it says, welcome home, it's not just here at this building. You're being welcomed into a citizenship of heaven. This is where we need to be. This is where the gospel is. And if you're not where the gospel is, the gospel, if it is preached by those who love the gospel, will come to you. How do I know that? Because the word of God said the gospel we spread through all the earth before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So if you think you're going to be that person that never hears it, never knows about it, and you're going to be able to say, well, Lord, I never had an opportunity to accept it, that is not going to be the case. The word has been laid out before you. The word has been laid out before you. This is the gospel. So now it is your choice to say, what am I going to do with the gospel? What am I going to do with the Jesus that came to give me everything? What am I going to do with the Jesus that says, I don't owe anything? What do we do with it? Do we shrug it off and we still go back outside? Do we live our lives just as we always done? Do we not share it with others? What do we do with the gospel? The gospel is enough. Please stand on your feet. And I want to do exactly what I said I was going to do. I want to know right now, the gospel has been laid out before you. Jesus came to this world to set a path of salvation and forgiveness. He wants you to come home. He wants to be in right standing. He wants you right there in right standing with him. And he was unashamed. He was unashamed to come here and give his life for each and every one of us. He gave his life. He did exactly what he had said. He did what the Father told him to do. Isn't it so, just thinking about it, isn't it just so wonderful that a God of the universe, the God of eternity, loves you so much that he makes a plan for you to spend eternity with him? And he did that while you were yet still living in sin. He still made a way. And so right now, with every head bowed, as we take a moment and reflect internally on where we are, the invitation and the gospel is here right now. You know, the Bible says that he allows those that don these pulpits to do this so that men may be saved. This is not so that, you know, we can get social media likes. This is so that every soul can be reunited through Jesus Christ to God the Father. And in a minute, I'm going to pray a prayer. And all I want to know is that if you want to be considered in that prayer, if you would just lift your hands up and you would say, remember me. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Remember me, Lord. And maybe you haven't had the relationship that you know you should have with Christ. Maybe it's been some time since you've spent time with him and found yourself in his presence. And you're saying to yourself, I don't know how to get back to that place where I should be in the presence of the Lord. Maybe it's you saying that I fell away. Life happened. And instead of believing in the all-sovereign God, I went the way of the world. But honestly, I'll be honest with you, God doesn't care. He just wants you home. If that's you, if you could just slip up your hands, and I'm going to include you in this prayer. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for the hand. Hands all over. Thank you, Jesus. So let's do exactly like I said we was going to do. We're going to go through to the throne of heaven. And I'm going to have you repeat after me. And it's not important that you hear me pray, but you hear yourself pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Say, dear Father, I am a sinner. And I come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who has offered me a gift of eternal life through belief in him. I accept that gift. I willingly accept that gift. He is the Lord of my life. And you're the God that sits on the throne of my life. I accept you. No one else, no other voice, nothing else I can do will be greater than you. Today is the day that I start my life with you. I believe, I receive, and I speak it into existence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give God a hand praise for those that have given their life. God. And I want to let you know something right now. If you raise your hand, whether it's your first time or whether you've done it before, this is not something that you just did and it means nothing. You know, we had an apostle that was here, so I don't want to say it came from me. But the devil never has to remind you that you're not saved when you're not saved. So every time you get that thought, like it didn't stick, it wasn't me, that is confirmation that you are a child of God. That is confirmation that you've been saved by grace. And you are ready to start the journey with Jesus Christ. Because he's not going to leave you or forsake you and say you're going to do this by yourself. And if you need prayer, there are ministers on the left and the right here. If you like, hey, I would just like you to have a prayer. It would be awesome to come down here and tell them this is the first time I prayed that prayer. Let us encourage you. Let us walk the journey with you. We know that here at this church, we all go and we all go together. It is beautiful to see so many people in the house today, and I'm so very thankful to be here. But if you need prayer, if you need something, please come up here. We have pastors, we have ministers that are here for you. Things don't end when we have the benediction and announcements happen. There are several people here to help you. And if you don't have a church home, and I'm going to throw it out there, if you don't have a church home, this is a Word of God, gospel preaching church that you should be in. And we would love to have you here. We would love to have you here. When we talk about walking through the journey of life and all going together, that is taught here. We have people here that's almost 24 hours for everything that you might need. I mean, don't call with nothing crazy now. We ain't going to buy you no PlayStation 5 and all that. Y'all keep all that. But your spiritual needs can be handled here. And we would love to have you here. And if you could, invite somebody to church. Invite somebody to church. Can everybody do me a favor before they leave here? And I'm going to go sit down. If you see an empty seat beside you, can you pray for that seat that somebody will be in that seat next week? You don't have to do it all with everybody. Can you just say a word over that seat and that somebody will be in that seat? Because the Word of God is being preached here. And we don't want this Word just to be seen online. We want this Word to be experienced. Because people need to experience the word of God. They need to experience Christ. Amen. Is that okay? That's not too much to ask, is it? All right. I appreciate you. Thank you for your time. I love you. I love this church. I love this body. I love everything that they do. I am a servant of this body, and I will always continue to be. So thank you. God bless you. See y'all next week.